Welcome to Perspective Transformation with Marnie and Friends. Whether you're looking for encouragement, practical training, or clear focus, you'll want to grab a notebook, as today's guest trainer shares rock-solid strategies you can implement starting immediately. Sponsored by WomenSpeakers.com, here's your host, Marnie Swedberg.
Welcome, this is Marnie, and you are joining me for Marnie's Friends Perspective Transformation. Today we're going to be talking about how to do presentations and take them from boring to brilliant. Our guest today is Boyfe Nome from Nigeria. We're excited to have her here, and in just a minute I will introduce her. But I want you to grab a notepad or some way to take notes, because during this interview, we're going to talk about the importance of your root and how to identify it, how and why to respond to people's call for help, how to develop strong content for your presentations, the key to creating a simple structure, the value of intense preparation, and how best to invest your time, the introduction to Story Vault, the Burning Bush Effect, the Fig Tree Effect, and how to impress without a single word, plus the most important thing to contemplate as you create your bio. Our guest today is Boyfe Nome. She is an author, speaker, and speaker trainer whose stories, strategies, and practical presentations help women find their God-given purpose and voice. You will discover from scripture how to communicate your ideas confidently and effectively so you can inspire and equip your God-assigned audience to take action. Boyfe's website is her name, www.boyfenome.com, and also she is one of our speakers over at womenspeakers.com, so you could totally check her out over there, and I'm excited to welcome her now. Welcome to you, Boyfe.
Thank you so much, Marnie, and hello, everyone. So good to be here. Thank you for having me, Marnie.
You bet. And we are about 9 or 12 hours apart here from the United States to Nigeria.
I think it's 5 hours apart.
Five? Only five?
Yes,
wow. I know Kenya's like 12, so yeah, you are just closer to
yes,
us. That's awesome. Well, you actually run an organization that helps people with their presentations. What is the name of your company?
So it's called Panache Image Consult, and we help our clients who are basically working professionals to deliver their presentations in a professional manner, because we want them to get results from every presentation they make.
So when you joined us at womenspeakers.com, I was like, you're coming on. Share with us some of the secrets that you share with your trainees in your program, and I'm excited to have you here. And actually, some of your talk points really got me going. I was telling somebody I was working with, I'm kind of excited to hear what this burning bush thing is myself and the fig tree. And so
yeah,
we're gonna dive right in. Thank you for being here. So first of all, what is a root, and how do we identify ours?
Women who have been called to speak, we often have these, oh God, but I cannot speak, I have never done this before, and all that. And that used to be me, because I am an introvert, and I used to be extremely shy. I used to be too shy to relate with my cousins. That was how bad it was. So when we had visitors over at home, I would run into the bedroom until the visitor was done. Before I could come out. So when God started inspiring me, like letting me know this is the path I want you to take, it was quite difficult for me. So he began to show me other people in scriptures who, when he called them, they too were not as excited as I was at that point. People like Moses, yeah. Jeremiah. Moses literally said, God, I stammer. I don't have eloquence. So I think I'm the wrong guy for this job. And Jeremiah said, I'm only a youth. I can't speak. I'm only a youth. Mm-hmm. So, but God said something to Jeremiah. He said, he placed his hand on Jeremiah's lips and told Jeremiah, what I have done now is I put the words that you must speak in your mouth.
Yeah.
And he said to Moses, don't worry about what you're going to say, because I'm going to go with you. So when I speak about roots in public speaking, especially for us women who have been called to speak, is understanding that when God is calling you to speak, he's not asking you to start from the beginning. He laid the foundation when he created you. At that point that he talked about in Jeremiah 1 verse 5, that before you were born, I knew you. Before you were conceived, I ordained you. So you already have the words to speak. It's not something that is going to start from afresh to do. And the second thing is, God is always going to be with you. He's always going to be with you throughout that. So that is why when you understand the roots, Jesus said, I came from my Father. So he knew where he came from. He didn't do anything of his own accord. He came from somewhere, and he always identified with that root, that foundation, to help him propel, to propel him to deliver the presentations and the speeches, the Sermon on the Mount, and all those speeches with confidence and authority. Because at the end of the day, you need to impact the lives of the people that God has assigned you to.
Right. I'm thinking of John 15 and how that we are the branch. Okay, so we're the branch hanging out here and the fruit hangs off of us. But if we're not connected to the vine, to the root, then we're really, we should be afraid. Actually.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But if we are connected.
That you are part of that vine. And yes. Not just that you're part of the vine, but that God is the vine dresser.
Yeah.
Confidence just comes, and you have that strength of will to go ahead and share the word that God has put on your lips to share.
Yeah, I love that. And we don't have to produce the fruit. Actually, we bear the fruit. It's different. The fruit production comes from the vine, but the branch, it just hangs there. It grows there, and we bear it, the weight of it, but that's it. We don't even have to produce it ourselves. So I love that. So what are you talking about when we're supposed to hear people's calls for help as a speaker?
When I talk about that, what I mean is when you're as a speaker, you don't think about yourself. You don't think about, this is what I should say, or this is what everybody's saying, so let me follow the train. No, you think about the people that God has called you to.
Yeah.
If we go back to Moses and Jeremiah, you notice that there was a people that God called them to. Those people they needed help. They were crying out to God, the Israelites in bondage. They were crying out to God. And God said, I have heard their cries and I've come to help them. So you have to understand that the people God has called you to speak to have been crying out to him. And he has come to help them through you. So when God says, this is the people that I want you to talk to, you have to think about their problems. What are their pain points? What are they crying out to God for? For me, I know that women, I've talked with a lot of women, and you hear them say, I feel led to do this. I feel led to speak on this. I feel led to speak on that, but I'm scared. Or I don't know how to put my words together. I don't know what to talk about when I actually get on stage. So how can you help me? And for me, those are my God-assigned audiences. I want to help you express the words that God has put on your lips to speak. That is the problem they have. And so that is what I'm responding to. So you always have to respond to your audiences. When you speak to their pain, they pay attention to you.
You know, and that's kind of where we're going to talk about this as we go through the conversation here too later, but that's where the confidence is to say, pick me, because it isn't like you're saying, because I'm so stellar or because I'm so perfect or I'm so much better than you. It's because you have a calling to actually bring water to the thirsty and bring aid. Hurting, right? And so if you hold back, if you hide your light under a bushel, if you hold back, it's not humility. It's really saying, I don't believe this calling is real. I don't believe I'm the one. Or like Moses, pick somebody else. You're really not stepping into what God calling you to do. So I love that focus on the hurting and how, no matter if they're hurting, like seriously depressed or in the hospital. Like, not just that. They just need the information that's in your head.
Yes. They need that. They need the experiences that the lessons you that you have learned from your mm-hmm. own experiences,
yes.
what you read in school. For some people, it's their business. Their business yes. isn't going as well as God has ordained or blessed it to go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Because God said in the book of Genesis chapter 12 that I'm going to bless you and make you a blessing, dispensing good to others. I love how the Amplified Version says dispensing good to others.
I love
so
that.
It's very, very important that you find those others and dispense good to them. It's not something that is rocket science, but just being humane and understanding that the same right. challenges that you've gone through, others are going through that as well.
Right, and that just you being a little farther along on the journey, it gives you a different perspective that can help them where they are on
yes.
the journey. So
yes.
keeping this all in mind then, how do we create and develop this strong content that's really going to resonate with our audiences?
And we're just going to flow from our last topic and get into this, because developing a strong content, when you hear strong, it doesn't mean that it has to be out of this world. Sometimes it can be so simple, but
yes.
just so relevant to your audience. Simple, yet relevant. And when it comes to developing strong content, I always like to say, start from the known and then move into the unknown. When you have gone through something, for instance, I have been shy, I have been timid, I have had low self-esteem, I have had inferiority complex when I think of other people as better than I am. And so I use that when I teach, when I train. When you develop content, try to bring yourself into your content. Try to bring your personal experiences into your content and the things that you have learned before. You know, in the Bible, during the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus kept on saying something. You have heard this. This is what I say to you now. You have known this, referring to the Mosaic law. This is what I say to you now. You have heard this. It's been said when someone slaps you, you know, slap them back or something. But this is what I say to you now, right? You have heard it. This Moses, because of your hard-heartedness, told you to divorce your wives and all that. But this is how it was from the beginning. So he references what they already know and then brings the godly standard, mm-hmm. what they have always known because of their fallen state, but then he tells them this is how it should actually be. So when you're creating your content, start from the known. The known is the pain point. The known is your own pain, your own suffering, your own experiences, and how that affected you. For instance, before I did an MC on Saturday, I MC'd an event on Saturday, and towards the end, when I was off the stage, a friend of mine walked up to me and we're not really close, but we know each other. And he was like, I watch your videos and oh my gosh, I see the transformation that has happened over the years. And he said, can I get your book? And I said, oh, my book is evil. Okay, why don't you print it? I think this is really, really going to go far. You're going to help a lot of people because He said, because this is something that you have been through.
Yeah.
So someone who knows that. my mom is still shocked when she sees me do what I do.
Mm-hmm.
That's to show you where God picked me from, the level of low self-esteem that I used to have to where I am now. So when I teach, I try to bring that. For you, it may be that you used to really struggle with your finances.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some bad habits, you have to bring that in. And when we talk about this, the other thing that you need is vulnerability. You have to allow yourself to be vulnerable, because that's how you can actually help other people. If you don't allow yourself to be vulnerable, you won't bring out that best.
Mm-hmm.
That best, that oil is inside of you. It's not from books that you read. The books will probably give you a framework for how to talk about what your topic, but the actual oil that impacts the life of the other person, of your audience, comes from inside of you. That's why the Bible says, come to comfort others with the comfort with which you were comforted with.
Right. Right. Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And I always encourage people. Now, there are exceptions to this. We just had an interview a couple weeks ago with Carol, who's in the middle of a difficult journey with a spouse with clinical depression. And they're in the middle of that journey. And she's written a book about that. But typically, I'm going to say that usually what works well in presentations and in writing books or tutorials is that you have had this trouble in the past. You no longer have it. Something has changed. God has shown you a process or has freed you or healed you or whatever. So you look back, and typically that's where you're going to focus on with your content, not on your raw gaping wounds right now.
Yes.
Because you're really standing up in front of people. I always say it's like kind of like standing in front of people without any clothes on and letting them just throw darts at you. And, you know, you don't want to do that with your raw, gaping, open wounds. So when we're talking here about content from your own life, it's content from the struggles you had in the past that you have overcome. And they're now kind of scarred over. So even if somebody hits them, they don't hurt anymore, but you still have the proof that that was part of you in the past. And so I think that that's really important to keep in mind too. You are not always supposed to just go and stand in front of people with your gaping wounds and let them just say anything about it. This is more for the times afterwards. And you're such like, I look at you, boyfriend, and I think what an encouragement to the viewer who is thinking, I could never speak. I could never get in front of people. And look how eloquent you are and just beautiful and so full of joy doing exactly what God created you to do. But that didn't feel right. It didn't feel good for a long time. That felt impossible.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Let's talk about structuring. So we've got some content now, and one of the ways I do it, and then I'm going to have you share, but one of the ways I do it is I have either an Excel document, a spreadsheet, where I just list all of the points I want to cover, or I do it on post-it notes, and then I can, like a puzzle, I can kind of move them around, put them in the order that they should come. So when you talk about simple structure, what do you encourage your students to do?
What I tell them to do is make a list, just like you have said.
Yes.
You make an outline, but I am more like the pen and paper kind of girl. So I like to use my pen and paper and actually list out everything. List out what are the points you know that if I share this with my audience, it will help them. List them out. What are some examples that I can cite? List them out. Are there any statistics that I can quote? List them out. Just as many ideas, as many points that come to you, list them out. That is your rough draft. When you're done with that, you can also include stories that can help you. So when you're done with that, I often like to say, think about the time that you have to present, because that is very important.
Yeah.
So that you don't overload your time with much content. So depending on the time that you have to speak, you then narrow down those points that you had written down into probably the top three. I often advocate for top three. What are the top three quarters that you feel this is what I must talk about? If I don't talk about any other thing, these and these and these must be shared today or during this presentation. So circle out those ones. And then create a new list, putting them in a logical order. Which one should come first? Which one should follow after? And which should you discuss last? So when you have that template, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're giving information about how someone can overcome depression, for instance, you may want to start from what the person is. What the person is missing, what the person feels currently in the cause of having that, in the cause of being in that depressed state, then you can enter into what they can do. Because sometimes when people are depressed, they feel they can't do anything. So you can then move them to what they can actually do from that weak state that they are, from that hopeless state that they are in. What are the simple things that they can do? It may just be hanging out with friends or something, or just listening to an inspirational song, or an depending on you and where how you overcame that and what God has laid on your heart. So that can be the next step. And finally, you can then ask them, choose one thing that they are going to do now or to take the next big step after they have taken the small steps. It just depends on the topic you're speaking on. After making that, the other thing that you put is it's an opening and a closing.
Yeah.
To tie up those two. Most times people have their main points set out, but forget about the opening and the closing. So at the end of the day, they find it difficult to get into the body of the speech. And when they are done speaking, they find it difficult to close because they don't know how, where and what to close from. So it's really important that after you have gotten your main points, that you create your opening and your closing, and then you're ready to go.
Yeah, right. And as you're doing those main points in the center, you want to make sure that any story you tell or any analogy you use or any image that's up on the PowerPoint or whatever directly relates to that main point. It can't be, I kind of wanted to fit this in here somewhere. It shouldn't be like that. It should be that it really supports that main
yeah.
point. Yeah, I love that. I love that. So what is the value of intense preparation, and how do you best invest your time?
The value cannot be estimated because it's so important. It's so, so important. I say never, ever, ever wind your presentation, no matter how good you are. Why? Because every audience is unique. Mm-hmm. Every audience is different. Every situation is different. You may have delivered a training or a presentation in the morning the last time you spoke, but this time around, you've been giving a time in the afternoon. So you have to prepare. You have to work on how you're going to start your presentation, how you're going to deliver the body of the speech, and how you're going to close. You also want to prepare any stories you're going to tell. You have to prepare. Because sometimes, because we live the story, we want to tell everything, every bit and bit of it. But there isn't always enough time to do that. So you want to make sure that you think about the story, and let me use the word edit it, not to remove, not to make any false statements, but to just edit the things that you don't need to say, but still pass your message across, still tell the story the most authentic way and keep it short. Then if you're going to use any prop to demonstrate any point, you also want to get that ready. And I like to say, when you are rehearsing your speech or presentation, rehearse with that prop. If you have a slide, make sure that you rehearse with it. And talking about slides, make sure that your slides are simple, they are not overly worded with lots of words, but that you have pictures, they are very concise, and most importantly, you don't depend on them.
Yeah.
If you ever have to depend on your presentation slides to deliver your speech effectively, you are not well prepared for that presentation.
Okay, so I love this. So one time I heard that for every minute of presentation, you should spend 6 minutes in preparation for that 1 minute. And I think that's good. Another point put it, 60 minutes for 1 minute. So,
wow. You
know, we're talking about a lot of prep time, which is why when people engage a speaker, they're getting somebody that has really done a lot of work compared to somebody that they just know who has a nice story to tell and comes up and tells a story. And like you said, it's rambling and it has all the, you know, and it finally gets to the point. But as a speaker, you really want to prepare these, practice them. Even the way that I started, Boy Fei, is I actually videotaped myself doing the presentations. Yes. Yes. And it really helps you to see where your mannerisms aren't quite right. I did a lot of crossing my arms. It's like, that doesn't really work on stage. So you have to kind of see what you're doing wrong a little bit and then to improve it. And then the other thing with stories, you can really get a story to be so powerful if you'll work on it for a while. Don't just go with your first retelling of that story. Yeah. Really polish it up. I love that. And I too just, even even if you've been speaking a long time, like you said, ask God to help you prepare, even if it's the same talk that you've given 100 times, ask God to make it personal for this audience, and he will.
True. Because every audience is different.
Yes.
And sometimes, because we are Christian women, we have to think like that. But sometimes there's really just one person or two persons in that audience who you are really there for at that particular point in time. So it takes that, and part of preparation for us Christian women is to pray. I like to pray for my audience, not just to pray for myself, but for my audience. But sometimes people come in with distractions, worries that may end up distracting them from what you're saying. I like to pray for them too, that when I share something that they recognize it and then they have the wisdom to apply it in their life. Because it's so important. At the end of the day, this is a ministry, and ministry is about serving. You're serving people, not yourself. Even if it's a business, even if speaking is your business, it is still a ministry.
Yeah. Your life is the presentation of Jesus to the world. And so in everything we say and do, that should be forefront. So we're talking about stories, and you have something you call Story Vault. Can you tell us what that is?
Yes. Most times when you start your presentation, you're kind of like, what story should I tell? I've heard tell stories. What stories should I tell? I don't have any stories. But the truth is we have stories, and every day we gain more stories. I've had a coaching session with a client today, and I've heard something. I've had a discussion with someone, and I learned something. As I was working out today, I saw something that resonated with me and kind of like got me thinking about something in a different way. Those are stories. So what I call story words are when you have such experiences, don't just put them here and leave them. Put them down. Make a list of them. So have like a paper and what happened. Divide them into 3 columns. What happened? Or 4. Okay, let's use 4. So you can have dates. Dates, what happened? What are the lessons that you got from this event that took place? It's in your life or something that you observed around you. Then on the final column, you can now decide, is this a leadership lesson or a relationship lesson? Or a confidence lesson, whatever, or yes, whatever, just make that. So that when you're preparing for a leadership training, for instance, you can easily go to your boat and select a story that would help you convey your message effectively.
Yeah, that's beautiful. So I do that with all of my talk points. So I've written several books, and I have an Excel that includes what you say, the main point of it, what category it's in, where it came out of, like which book, which page number, the keywords in that story, like is it about little Johnny? Is it about him building the shed with his dad? So I've got, you know, the keywords so that I can always find it. But what's beautiful is when you include like what you said, and I always put a scripture reference. If it has scriptures attached to it, I put scriptures in there also. So in a spreadsheet or an Excel document, you can actually sort that by anything now. You can sort it by reference. You can sort it by date. You can sort it by topic category, right? And so as you build this vault, and then the other thing I do too is I have a master PowerPoint slides that go along with those stories. So as I go to build my presentations, I sort first, then I find out which ones are going to go in here. And then a lot of times, like the very last time I did it, then God brought 3 new stories to my mind that I didn't even have on my list yet. And so I got to add those to my Story Vault. I love the name of Story Vault. I think you should coin that and create a product for that, because that's amazing. That's a great thing. A Story Vault. Tell us about your burning bush effect.
Ooh, wow. So I'm working on a book. It's called Speaking God's Way. So I've been as I was doing the research for the book, I started from where God started me from, which was Moses. Genesis and Moses. Yeah. And when Moses was in the wilderness, watching over his father-in-law's flock, he saw across from him a bush that was burning. And he looked again and he realized the bush was ablaze, but it wasn't really burning. And he said something, said, I need to go closer to look, to see what is really going on. By the time he got closer, God said, hey, dude, chill. You're standing on holy ground. And he says to him, pull off your sandals. I am the God of your father, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And before he started, tell him what he wanted to tell him. So that's what I call the burning bush effect, is that attention grabbing thing that you do at the beginning of your presentation.
Yeah.
To get your audience to really sit up. I want to hear what she has to say, because it's so important.
It.
Like I mentioned before, your audience has a lot of things right here.
Mm-hmm.
And for that 30 minutes or 45 minutes that you have with them, you need to be at the top of where their focus is. So creating a burning bush effect can be a statistic that people are not really aware of, or something that startles them, or a story. Just because I call this a burning bush effect doesn't mean that it's out of this world thing, but it just helps to realize that if God thought it wise to find a way to get Moses out, or I have to watch over the flock, or God, I can't be listening to you right now, and I'm sending over my father-in-law's flock and all of that. He has to get him to willingly want to find out what's more.
Yeah.
And that's what you want your audience to do. They want to ask, what's more? I want to know what's more.
Yeah. You're actually taking their brain from wherever it is and saying, oh, I really want to pay attention to what's coming next. What is coming next from this? Yeah, what's going on here?
Yes.
So how about the fig tree effect? What is that?
The fig tree, same story. I love the Bible, because the Bible teaches you a lot of things. Jesus was working with his disciples and he wanted to get a fruit from the fig tree, and there was nothing there. So he cursed the tree, literally, like, just die off. You don't have any fruit. You just die off and be gone. And his disciples wanted to know what's up with that. Like, how can you do that? And he used that to tell them that, look, you can actually, if you have the faith, you can tell a mountain to move and it will move. So that is the fig tree. Don't tell, show. He could have easily told them, oh, you can tell a mountain, blah, 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 blah. But he showed them how possible it was by actually doing it. So it's important that when I talked about structuring and structuring your presentation, I talked about getting examples and stories and props. So whatever would help you show more than you tell would be really helpful for your audience, because studies have shown that we learn more when we are learning visually.
Right.
We retain more information that is presented to us visually than just words, because words are long and sometimes we can miss out on certain things, but people remember visuals,
right.
People remember pictures. So you want to create that effect when you deliver your presentation.
Yeah, awesome, awesome, good. Give practical analogies of what you're talking about, not just words and words and words, right? How do you impress without a single word?
How
with
do
a
you
secret
do that?
Sauce.
It's when you're called on, when the MC introduces you, and as you make your way to the stage, you've already started speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And how you're doing that is by how you are dressed, what you're wearing, how your hair is made, what your footwear is like, and all that. So you actually get to take advantage of your appearance to make a brilliant presentation. And the scripture I always reference here is when in the Bible where it was said that man, God told Samuel that man looks on the outward appearance, but he looks on the heart. But God was making a statement there. Man looks on the outward appearance. So your audience do not know what you have in your mind. They don't know the knowledge you have. They don't know the expertise you're bringing to them. But by how you look, they can make certain assumptions. And you want that assumptions to be true to who you are and to what you represent. Because when people make assumptions about you, they act towards you and react to you based on that assumption, whether the assumptions are true or false. So if the way you're dressed, they feel, okay, this is probably a wannabe, doesn't know anything, probably doesn't have the experience and all that. That is how they will react or respond to you getting on that stage. So it'd be difficult for you to get them to pay attention. But when you come out and from how you look, they feel, wow, they're going to sit up because, wow.
Right. And I always tell the speakers at womenspeakers.com, I always say it is not a beauty contest. It is not about how perfect you are. What it is about how seriously you take the responsibility of what you've been invited to do.
Absolutely.
So it isn't about like you have to be Miss America in order to be a speaker. You do have to. You, in order, though, for a planner to trust you, and for your audience to trust you, you have to take it seriously and you have to do the work. So like you say, getting dressed appropriately, showing up appropriately, having a professional headshot done. You know, you have to take these things seriously because otherwise it's hard for anybody to take you seriously.
Yes. And then the other thing about that is money, the way that you dress also influences how you feel and think about yourself.
It's
going to affect how you feel about yourself. So make sure that how you look makes you feel worthy of the assignment you are about to undertake. Because it's really, really important that.
And another thing, just talking about clothing, it is not a good idea to wear an outfit for the very first time when you're giving a speech. You should totally be comfortable in your clothes where they make you feel like $1 million and it doesn't matter how much they cost. What matters is how it makes you feel and what it presents to those who are watching you as you stand on the stage. And even it should be not distracting. Even, you know, sometimes someone will wear these huge floofy arm things and that's all you can see the whole time. Every time she moves her arms, you just see her sleeve or, you know, whatever. I one time had a whole talk. I had big earrings on and they jangled the whole time. And it's like, oh, okay. So, you know, very careful to, again, what you said first off was this is not about you. This is about your audience. This is about what God is bringing to your audience through you. So just to kind of, through you. So what's the most important thing to contemplate as you create a bio?
We've talked about the roots, which is knowing where you come from. And the other thing is knowing who your audience say you are. Part of delivering brilliant presentations comes from practice and doing it over and over again. So the presentation you gave yesterday should fall short in comparison with the one you're going to give tomorrow. Your path should shine brighter and brighter. That is the scripture. Your path should shine brighter and brighter. So to help you ensure that your future presentation surpasses in every way your past presentation is by knowing what you actually did right and wrong in the past one. So I always encourage my clients to ask their audiences or the person who invited them for feedback. Sometimes we are scared of asking for feedback because we don't want to be criticized or told that, oh, you did this wrong, you did that wrong. But it can help. It can help you to know what you should talk about more. Sometimes if an audience member will walk up to you and tell you that this was the most important part of your presentation. This was what resonated with him or her the most. And if you have tons of people coming to you at the end of every presentation telling you that this is the thing that resonated with me the most, then that helps you know that this is what you should really be paying attention to more when you deliver mm-hmm. your presentation. Mm-hmm. And now, talking about feedback, when you get whether positive or negative feedback, like when someone said, oh, you were brilliant, you were awesome, ask them which part was really the most brilliant, which part was the most amazing. Because you don't want anybody tooting your horn just to make you feel good. We are being practical right now. So you want to make sure that they are giving you specific things. And when they give you a negative input, like, oh, I think you could have done better here. Or some people don't know how to share negative criticisms in a way, in a positive light. So you have to be mature enough to know, okay, even though they said it wrongly, let me examine that and see how true that is. But only use that to improve yourself. Don't dwell on that. Don't rely on people's validation or the lack of to make you feel good or bad. If someone said, oh, you need to be right, don't go sleeping. Oh, I'm a terrible speaker. I knew it. I always, no. Your validation has already come from God. So that's not what I'm saying. If someone said, oh, you were amazing, you were this, don't let that get into your head that
right,
you start feeling too good to listen to God's guidance for your next presentation. So please, there's that balance. There's mm-hmm. that balance.
Yeah, no, I love that. And, you know, for many years, I think I'm to the point now where I do, like what you say is so good. God is the one who validates us. But when we get those feedback forms, it can either go to our head or crush our heart, one of the two, right? And so for years when I would get them, I would kneel down next to my bed. I'd lay them out on the bed and then I'd go through them, you know, and I would just yield everyone to God. And that would help me not to get proud as well as me not to get crushed. When there was a bad one. And, you know, if there tends to be somebody in every group who just, it's their calling to let you know what you can improve, which is awesome, actually, which is great when you can receive
it. But
because we all just want everybody to love us, it's a little hard to take in, especially like you say, if somebody doesn't know how to present it. But those are so important also. And just to come back for a moment here, we're almost done with this interview, which has been so wonderful. But to just talk about the bio, when you're doing a bio, what's really important for you to do is to let people know why you. That's what's important. And we tend to not want to toot our own horns or to mention things, the big things, but the important thing in a bio is that you do. Now, in your long bio, you get to also maybe include some other stuff, but in a short bio, it has to be very hard-hitting. And I always say, if you don't know how to write a really good bio, go to the bookstore or go to Amazon, to the best sellers, look on the back jacket where they describe that author in that short little teeny box. Mm-hmm. Model yours after that and you'll be right on track with what people need.
If you know a great speaker who has a website, also go to their website, check out their short bio to see how they wrote theirs and feel it on your way.
Yeah, because a planner needs that short bio both to introduce you from the platform as well as to copy and paste into her program that you're coming to invite her audience. And so you have to have really a great short bio. Well, Boise, this has been absolutely fantastic. So fun. I'm so excited to share you with our listeners and our audience here. And I want you guys to know you can reach out to her directly at her own website, which is boisenome.com. When people go over there, what are they going to find?
Oh, a lot. A lot that can help them improve the quality of their presentations. There's a free webinar there that they can sign up for on how to deliver impromptu presentations. Because sometimes you attend an event and someone says, oh, could you share what with us? Or you are at a meeting, could you share, what do you think about it? And people are often thought as, where should I start from? What should I say? And all of that. But in that webinar, I teach you how to deal with the anxiety as well as how to quickly structure your ideas, you know, your idea in a way that flows logically and freely to share with your audience.
Nice, cool.
You can also get my book right there as well, It's an e-book, so you can get it anywhere you are in the world. That is our contribution from Nigeria to the world.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for being here. You guys can also invite Boyfe to speak at your upcoming event or at your online presentation or conference via womenspeakers.com. And it's been so great to have you all here today. I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and we'll see you next time.